Grace, mercy, and peace are yours from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Basis for the message this evening is from the first epistle of St. John, verses from chapter 4. I'll read those verses now. Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us, and his love is made complete in us. This is God's word. Here we are now a full week into December, and probably many of you have already started making lists or checking items off lists for giving gifts here as Christmas approaches. We've done that already in our family, checking off which sort of gifts we are going to give to our children, to other family members or friends. But for me, and maybe it's for you too, the hardest part of the lists when it comes to gifts is making one for yourself. I remember when I was younger, and I see it again now in my children. My oldest is only 7. It is easy for them to come up with Christmas lists. Look in a catalog. Just about every page has something circled. It's easy to find things for them. But the older I get, it seems it's much harder to find anything that I really need, let alone want, to put on a list for people to buy things at Christmas. On my wife's side of the family, we always do a name exchange for all of the adults, her siblings, her parents, and their spouses. And sure enough, just a day before Thanksgiving, I got an email from them giving whose name was with which person and saying, by the day after Thanksgiving, we need a list so we can do some shopping for those sales. And then it got me to thinking once again just how difficult it can be to make this list. Why should I have to make a list? But then I started buying gifts. And I realized how valuable it is having a list. Have you ever had to buy a gift for someone who hasn't given you a list and you aren't exactly sure what you should purchase for them? I'm not always the best gift giver. I don't always have the best instincts when it comes to that. So sometimes when I have to buy a gift for someone and I haven't had a list, it's almost better if I'm not there in the room when they're opening that present, but sometimes I am. And then I try and read the words that they say to try and understand, was this good? Was this bad? Sometimes when someone says, oh, you shouldn't have, I wonder if that's literal. Really, you shouldn't have. It seems like if you don't have a list for someone and you're buying a gift, there really are like two extremes that makes it kind of difficult. One is if you don't know that person at all and you're trying to buy a gift for that person, then it's really hard to know what their interests are or, you know, what they even would have or need. But the other extreme, and I think this maybe even is a little bit more difficult, is if you know someone really well and love and care about them deeply. It's not that you don't know what they want, don't know what they have, but that you love and care about them so much that you want that gift to be special, even perfect. There's an old story that's told around the Christmas season that kind of illustrates this idea, this fact, called The Gift of the Magi. Probably some of you have heard it before. Just a short rendition of the story is it's this couple that are desperately in love and yet they have very little funds. In fact, they only have one precious possession that each of them hold dear. For the wife, it was her beautiful, long, luxurious hair. And oh, how her husband loved it, and the wife loved it too. And the husband, the one thing that he held dear was his grandfather's gold pocket watch that he took with him wherever he went. Well, Christmas was coming, and they both wanted to pick out the most precious and special gift that they could, but they didn't have funds to buy anything fancy. And so the story follows the wife who goes to a hairdresser and asks her to cut off all of her hair and sell it to a wig maker so that she can have just a few dollars to buy something special for him. And so the hairdresser does. She gets like $20 and buys a beautiful gold chain to go with that watch. She waits at home, eager for her husband to come back into the house. And when he does, his face, jaw drops, is in shock at now seeing his wife completely different. And she was all the while wondering, will he still love me even without my hair? And of course, he reassured her that he did. But when he opened the package and saw that beautiful gold chain inside, he had to tell his wife, I just sold my watch so that I could buy you these beautiful hair accessories because I knew how special they would be for you. Seems like it might be a sad story, right? But at the end of the story, it kind of paints the picture of why it's called the Gift of the Magi, and what really is behind that idea is that it really didn't even matter that he couldn't use that gold chain or she couldn't use those hair accessories anymore. What mattered was that they showed each other how much they loved each other. That even more than their most precious earthly possession, they just wanted to give this gift to show their love. Have you ever gotten a gift like that or given a gift? Something that is just so special or so thoughtful or even so extravagant or expensive. And when you receive that gift, you know, you literally say to that person, I can't accept it. It is just too much. It is too extravagant, too special. I remember one time during my vicar year, my intern year, studying to be a pastor, as we were going away, and they also, it was a baby shower for my wife and I with our first child. The outpouring of the congregation and those people we got to know over those years, I felt like saying the very same thing. This is too much. We can't accept it. But then they insist, and you can almost see that they feel so much better knowing that this gift has been accepted. And that they know that you can feel the love and care that they have too. That's what John is talking about here in this letter. When he talks about his definition of God's love. That the only way that we can really know what God's love is if we are overcome with just how much God gives. You know, I think that our love, whether it's love directed towards God or towards each other, it really is a shallow love unless we fully grasp just how deeply God loves you. The way it's described in these verses, describing, saying, this is love. Not that we love God, but that God sent his Son to be the atoning sacrifice for our sins. You know, in the mystery of the Trinity, often in God describing himself and his saving work, he talks about the Father and the Son, this relationship that's within that triune God. And part of it is a mystery. Part of it can be even a stumbling block for some people. But here is what God is trying to emphasize. That within himself, there is a relational aspect to God. And that is tied deeply together with love. And yet God, the Father, sent his one and only Son into this world to sacrifice him for you. That is love. The most precious gift that God could think of, giving even of himself so that you could understand the love of God. You know, I think sometimes Christian churches, even maybe we within these walls, we sometimes can lose sight of what loving God really is. Sometimes we emphasize loving each other, which obviously is something that God wants us to do. He says it right here in these verses. Jesus said the law can be summarized in loving God and loving your neighbor. He wants us to love each other. But that's not real love. Not even us loving God. That's not the heart and core of love, is it? Loving each other and loving God is all too shallow, all too simple, unless we grasp the love that God has for you. God is love. And God coming to this world to sacrifice himself is the greatest display of love that there is. And only when we fully grasp just how much God loves us, then in turn, yes, we do love each other, and we, of course, love God for the gift he has given to us, just as John says here. But it starts with just understanding, just grasping, and being overcome with the love of God. There's a short novel that was written by an American author, Thornton Wilder, back in the 1920s, called The Bridge of San Luis Rey. And later it was made into a movie for those that maybe aren't literature buffs. But in this story, it talks about this monastery that had these monks and also an abbess that was overlooking the mountains in Peru. And the story follows one particular monk named Brother Juniper, who saw five people traveling across this rope bridge in the mountains of Peru. And catastrophically, something occurred that rope bridge snapped, and all five of those people fell to their death. That's at the beginning of the story, and then this brother, he spends the rest of the story just trying to understand why. Why was it these five people? How many people have traversed that bridge before, and yet it was these five people that were on there when it snapped and that they died? Why could that be? Of course, he didn't come up to an answer that was satisfactory to him. In fact, Jesus talks about that very same thing, doesn't he? When he talks about the Tower of Siloam or someone that was born blind. And so instead, this story, it kind of follows the path of really, instead of trying to understand why these people died, it explored the lives of those people who had died. And it introduces them to all the people in their lives that had loved these people who now have died. And it maybe even showed that their love had grown deeper now that those people were no longer in their lives. And then at the end of the story, it's this abbess who is speaking then to Brother Juniper again. And she goes on to say this kind of philosophical statement about love. To paraphrase it, she says, these people, they were loved, and they loved in return. And now we, exploring their lives, we get to know and experience that love that they had within their friends or those families. And in turn, that makes love grow inside of us too. But in time, we too will die. And the love that we have for them, the love that others have for us, that too will go away. But there's a bridge, much like that rope bridge. A bridge that connects the living and the dead. And that bridge is love that connects those people. But then when that bridge collapses, or those relationships do, the love returns to the one who started it, to its source. Maybe a little philosophical for this evening. But I think here's the connection to Advent. Advent is the bridge between the living and the dead. And that bridge is love. In Advent, we celebrate how Christ came from heaven to this land that is with us living physically, but spiritually we're dead. And because Christ loved you so much, he is that bridge from the dead to the living. And just as that abbess concluded saying, love, it returns to its source after that bridge was disconnected or whatever it is that she was trying to say, St. Paul says it more beautifully. He says, in the end, these three remain, faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. Because God is love. And in the most vivid and visible display of who God is and how much he cares for you, that's what we celebrate in Advent and Christmas. Jesus crossed that gap of the living and the dead so that you might be called living stones, children of light, God's own family. So in the times where we think about the family and the friends that we love, and we buy gifts and get them out of love and want other people to feel the love that we have for them, let's always keep in mind the greatest gift of love. That little child born in a manger, that is much more than just a child. It is God's love that takes us from the land of the dead to the land of the living. That is the beauty of this Christmas season. And may that always remain in your hearts. Amen.